ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama, respected brothers and elders, during the course of the day, I met with many close friends of mine, and almost each one of them posed a similar question as to what will be the duration of the talk tonight. And now, perhaps they are seeing me seated here on a chair, they may be more concerned. I can understand the mental pressure, the fatigue one undergoes in his different profession, in his work, in his shop, in his business. And this reminds me of a story which was titled, Who Killed the Cat? And the story goes as following, of a manager of a company, a very large company. And for some reason, he was experiencing a very bad day. So he calls for his secretary, but the secretary was busy in another office. And after several attempts, he becomes very, very angry. So he barges into the office of his secretary and he insults him, reprimands him, and asks him, "But why didn't you answer my call?" He says, "Well, I was busy in the other office." And then he insults him. Eventually he tells him that, "Do this work for me immediately, otherwise you're fired." So this secretary in turn, he goes to another person who was a clerk who was under him, and he takes some office papers and he throws it on his desk, and he says that, "Please, get me this work done immediately." But this person looks at him. This is not his normal habit to behave in this way, and he's quite perturbed. Nevertheless, he takes his papers and then he, like he normally used to do on a daily basis, he says, "I will be leaving in a short while to pick up my kids from school." He says, "No, you cannot go today." So he pleads that, "I do go every day and there's no problem. Why the problem today?" He says, "I don't want to hear anything from you." This poor person, now he makes several calls to people who would pick up his kids from school, and for some reason he's unable to do so. So finally his kids are dropped off by the teacher of the school. When he comes home, he's also very, very forlorn. He's tired. He also had a bad day at work. So his little child comes to him with the toy that the mother had purchased, and so happily looks at the father with the innocent face, so that the father may look at this toy and appreciate and give him some kind words. And instead, the little child finds that the father becomes so angry and, "Just get out of my way and go to your mother, please." So this little child takes a toy, begins to cry, And as he's going to his bedroom, his pet cat comes in the way and he kicks the cat. It goes flying against the wall. So the question we ask, who kicked the cat? If we read, just on the surface, if we just look at it, make just a note, and we just look at the story on surface value, we will say that the boy kicked the cat. But in reality, it was the owner of the company, the boss, the manager. Because of his business pressures, or social pressures, or whatever pressures he was undergoing, and see the result that led to the cat being kicked. Now, we don't want anybody to kick any cats today. But this topic of Mi'raj, before you continue, ND22560 blocking a car. ND22560. Brothers, please remove your car if you are blocking any driveway or any other person who wishes to go, so that we may not interrupt the talk. The topic of Mi'raj and Isra, this journey of Mi'raj, we are quite familiar with. We have read many books, we have heard many talks. And believe me, the scholars, they have made a meticulous analysis of this entire journey of Mi'raj. They have scrutinized the ayat in Surah Isra, which I recited, and in Surah An-Najm. These are the two surahs, verses of which pertain to Mi'raj and Isra. They have gone so far, and they've mentioned academic works and scholarly works to the extent that they have even discussed in their books the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Isra with the word Subhana, and the surah that follows Surah Al-Kahf, Allah commences the surah with Alhamdu. So if we have to go into those details, then assure me that we will need weeks upon weeks to discuss these scholarly works. But for our understanding, if you look at the incident of the days or the months prior to Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked amongst the Quraysh and he invited them towards one Allah. But the heavy-handedness of the Quraysh and the strain they put upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the fact that he was persecuted in Makkah. Moreover, the demise of Abu Talib, his beloved uncle, and the demise of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, which caused so much of grief upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that finally he decided to leave Makkah and go to Taif to invite the people of Taif, perhaps they may accept Islam. So he goes to Taif with Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an, who was his adopted son. And when he goes there, he tries desperately to invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Deen Islam. But to his utter disappointment and dismay, people like the sons of Abdul Yalil, one of them say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could God Almighty not allocate any other person for prophethood besides you? Couldn't he find somebody else? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was totally rejected by the people of Taif. Not just rejected. They incited vagrants to hurl stones upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to chase him out of Taif. They began beating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was humiliated. He was persecuted. We would say that they were very hostile and antagonistic towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were ruthless, they were callous. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to bleed profusely. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, who tried to shield Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own body, he also sustained serious injuries to his head and his body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is chased out of Taif. Each time he tries to rest, they pick him up. They begin to punch at him. They begin to beat him up. Finally, he comes to an orchard of Utbah and Shayba, who were not Muslims. But they had some type of relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, family relationship. So they send their slave, their servant Addas, with the platter of grapes to go and give it to that person who is taking some rest under the tree. Addas goes, he presents this grapes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just before Addas could come to him, and this is a lesson for all of us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this distressed condition, absolutely humiliated, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he supplicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ilayka ashku dha'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas, O my Allah, I complain unto thee my infirmity, my weakness. My insufficient strategies. My feebleness in front of the people. Scholars mention, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complains to Allah about his own weakness. He does not complain to Allah about the people of Taif. He was an embodiment of mercy. And he says, O Allah, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen, Ya Rabb al-Mustad'afeen. Look at the words. O most merciful of all those who show mercy. O Rabb, O Lord, of the weak ones. Ila man takiluni. Who do you consign me to? Ila aduwin ba'idin yatajahamuni. To an enemy who is ruthless, who is going to insult me. أم إلى صديق قريب ملكته أمري, or to a bosom friend to whom you have entrusted my affairs to. إن لم تكن غضبانا علي فلا أبالي. Oh my Allah, if you are not angry with me, then I'm not worried, I'm not bothered, but وَإِنَّ مَغْفِرَتَكَ, but your mercy, أَوْسَعُ لِي, that is what I am aspiring for. That's what I require now. Wallah, your kindness, your compassion, your mercy, your love. The dua goes on where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this, or he puts forward this lament to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He complains about his own weakness. Addas comes with the grapes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a grape and he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then he begins to consume the grape. Addas is bewildered. What did you say? What did you read? And Nabi Sallam explains to him. Addas listens very with great interest. His masters are watching him. What is he communicating with? What is he talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about? When he comes back, and Addas, when he heard the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, he was inspired. And he assured Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would follow him. When he comes to his masters, they warn him that we do not want to see you again communicating with that person. Allah had sent down an angel who was in charge of the mountains to crush the people of Taif. But as I mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the personification of mercy. And he said, O Allah, if these people do not accept Iman, then perhaps somebody from their progeny might accept iman. Somebody from their progeny, from their children, will accept iman. Rasulullah ﷺ goes back to Makkah. Ulama write, the scholars write, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reached such abysmal levels of humiliation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter elevates him to such a position of glory, honor, dignity that no other person ever enjoyed. No lofty angel ever enjoyed. No messenger had enjoyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibril alayhi salatu wa salam for this journey of Mi'raj, a celestial journey. A unique journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in the house of Umuhani, who was his cousin, the daughter of Ali of Abu Talib. Umuhani, Fakhita, bintu Abi Talib. When suddenly he sees the roof opening and two angels come down. And they escort Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They awaken him up from his sleep. They take him to the Hatim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi lies down in the Hakim. Then after some time they wake him up. And after he's awoken, they split open his chest. They remove his heart, which is washed with Zamzam water, which was brought on a golden platter. Filled with iman and hikmah. The scholars explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah was strengthening his wisdom. Allah was strengthening his iman. He was now going to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it was imperative, it was necessary to again strengthen the iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after they had washed his heart, they placed it into his chest, resealed his chest. And of course, in today's time, this is nothing difficult for you and I to comprehend. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is accompanied by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who brings an animal by the name of Buraq, which was something like a mule or a horse, white in color, absolutely beautiful. But the moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decides to mount Buraq, it begins to prance. It goes into some energetic friskiness. And Jibril Isra'at from reprimands Buraq, "Oh Buraq, do you know who is about to mount you? There is no other person in the eyes, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is more honored than this messenger of his, the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to mount you." It is mentioned that Buraq began to perspire. It became calm. Rasulullah mounts Buraq. Narration suggests that Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam also climbs on. Buraq would travel with a very fast speed, and as far as its eyes would see, that would be its first step. They go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Buraq then ties, Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam then ties Buraq to a ring. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam enter Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for all of us to make the safar to Palestine in Masjid al-Aqsa. And may Allah remove the difficulties of our Palestinian brothers and sisters who are suffering, who are being tortured, who are being butchered. If it is not possible to go there, then at least send that amount, or send some oil with which they would light up the lanterns in Masjid al-Aqsa. It's mentioned in the riwayat that it is equivalent to having performed two rakat salah in Masjid al-Aqsa. But this is the key occasion again where you and I should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cry for our beloved Muslim brothers, especially in Palestine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi enters Masjid Al-Aqsa. He performed Surah Al-Salat, Nafil with Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. And thereafter, an adhan is called out. An iqama is given. And we find that there were Anbiya Alayhimu Salatu Wasalam. All of them. All were present there. Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam takes hold of the hand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasalam, puts him forward. And he leads the congregation of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he has mentioned that this whole incident of Mi'raj and Isra, and at this point I will mention that from Makkah, the journey from Makkah, from Masjid al-Haram to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is known as Isra. And the journey thereafter is known as Mi'raj. So you can call it Mi'raj or Isra or Isra and Mi'raj. But he mentioned this entire journey was just not a journey of Rasulullah ﷺ going with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and visiting the seven heavens and meeting the prophets. No. It was to illustrate this important point and fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Imamul Anbiya. He was the leader of all the messengers, of all the prophets. He was the leader of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his father. He was the leader of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, every single Nabi. And in Masjid al-Aqsa, he met with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam thereafter. And of course, there are many other incidents that historians have written, scholars have written, muhaddithin have mentioned. But I'm just trying to make it brief as possible. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was presented with two bowls, one of a goblet of wine, and one of milk. And he chose the goblet of milk. Brother, please remove your car. ND22560. There's somebody who wants to come out urgently. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chooses the goblet of milk. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then remarks that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have chosen fitrah. The natural disposition of a person, the tendency towards which he is inclined, and that is iman. Every child is born with iman. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tells Rasulullah sallam that had you chosen wine, then your ummah would have gone astray. Milk is nourishing, and therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a dua that we should read after drinking milk. Allahumma barik lana fi. Wallah, bless us with the milk that you have given us. Wazidna min. And give us more. This dua is not for any other drink, but for milk only. Wallah, bless this milk and give us more. Scholars have even mentioned if somebody sees a dream in which he is drinking milk, that this is a sign that he will gain knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then brought a beautiful ladder, a staircase, an escalator, and now he travels with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to the seven heavens. In the first heaven he meets again Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course they take permission, they grant permission, they enter, they meet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they greet one another. Then the second heaven he meets Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the third heaven. They meet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam in the fifth heaven, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam in the sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was reclining on Al-Baytul Ma'mur, something similar to the Kaaba. It was a house which the angels would make tawaf of. Every single day, 70,000 angels make tawaf of Al-Baytul Ma'mur, and they are never given an opportunity again to make tawaf. From this we can understand the number of angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam conveys a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and this is something that I would like to share. He says, أقرئ على أمتك السلام وعليه السلام. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam tells Rasulullah salam that convey my salam to your ummah. So we say, wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullah. And then he says, that tell them, inform them, innal jannata, the jannat, tayyibatu turba, the sand is soft. The sand is gentle. And the water is absolutely sweet and delicious. But as it is now, it is barren. There are no trees there. What are the trees? Tell your ummah to recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Each time an ummati recites Subhanallah, oh Alhamdulillah, oh Allahu Akbar, then he plants for himself a tree in paradise. Ulama have mentioned, and of course from ahadith, that the only regret a person will suffer on the day in Jannah, the only regret will be the time that he abused in this world, the time that he did not spend correctly, the time in which he should have made the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and planted for him many more trees. In fact, in this journey of Mi'raj, there is a station just beyond Sidratul Muntaha where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a person, rajulun, a man, immersed in nur, in light, in radiance. And he inquires from Jibreel, who is that person? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, rajulun, such a person whose tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not heedless of his creator. He understood very well the purpose of his creation. And therefore, he did not while away his time in idle talk, idle chit-chat, pursuits of this world. But he engaged himself in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was consumed by his creator. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, and he had his heart attached to the masjid. He would frequent the masjid. He would take solace, comfort with the environment of the masjid. He would feel at home. He would feel content. He would feel the serenity. Not like how many of us, we come into the masjid to go out first. And the third quality mentioned that he was not disobedient to his parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then moves on to Sidratul Muntaha. And this is the climax of this journey. Sidra is a lotus tree. Absolutely beautiful. Covered with different types of lights. Scholars have mentioned from riwayat, this lotus tree, so huge, that the fruits of this tree were so large in size that they were like the size of a huge earthen jar. The leaves of this tree was like the size of an ear of an elephant. They were covered with butterflies or moths made of gold, pure gold. They were covered with angels. On each leaf there was an angel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in the hadith, the Sidratul Muntaha. Muntaha means end point, the final point. And this is The final point, where all the affairs and matters of this world, the amal, the deeds of this world are carried from this world and they reach this point, Sidratul Muntaha, this is the final stop, as we say, the final destination. It cannot traverse beyond this point. In any matter that is predestined from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is its first station. So this is where these heavenly commandments, they begin. Or they first stop here, after they are taken from Lawh Mahfuz. Now beyond this point, no being ever could go. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam halts. And he says, I cannot even move a step further, otherwise my wings will burn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this point had seen Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in his true and original form as an angel. In other words, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, initially, he did not come in an angelic form. Here Rasulullah sees him in his angelic form. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sent raf-raf. Raf-raf is a beautiful green carpet which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he sits on this carpet. And he's taken closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where finally he comes into the sacrosanct presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires him. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Rasulullah goes into prostration. He goes into sajda. And this is the pinnacle of this journey where he is now in close proximity to his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يَا حَبِيبِ أُدْنُ مِنِّي. Oh my beloved, come closer to me. Come closer to me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessed with a myriad of glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that you are my Habib. وَمَا ذُكِرْتُ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي. Whenever I will be mentioned, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your name will also be taken. Among the things that Rasulullah sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated, there were some gifts that Allah had presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst those gifts, one was salat. Initially 50 salat for the day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He accepts his gift. And he was given the closing verses of Surah Baqarah. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. And then there's a dua which all of us are quite familiar with. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Oh Allah, if we have blundered, we have made a mistake, we have erred. Oh Allah, do not take us to task. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. Oh Allah, do not burden us like how you had burdened the generation, the nation of the past. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Do not burden us with that which we are unable to endure. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمَا. Oh Allah, forgive us. Obliterate our sins. Cover our faults. Whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, he asked, Oh Allah, إِنَّكَ عَذَّبْتَ الْأُمَمْ. Oh Allah, you punished nations of the past when they were disobedient to you. When they transgressed, they violated your commandments. Oh Allah, some of them you disfigured them. Some of them you sunk them into the earth. Some of them you stoned them to death. You toppled their cities. مَا أَنْتَ فَاعِلٌ بِأُمَّتِي. What are you going to do with my ummah? What is going to be their condition? My respected brothers and elders, let us listen very attentively. Look at the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. He says, Oh my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
أُنزِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ الرَّحْمَةِ I will show my mercy upon them. وَأُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ I will transform the bad deeds into good deeds when they turn and they come to me with التَّوْبَةِ وَالِاسْتِغْفَارِ with a penitent heart. When they turn to me, ask me for forgiveness, Allah says, I will forgive them. مَنْ دَعَانِي لَبَّيْتُهُ Allah says, whoever calls unto me, he's suffering some problem, a domestic problem, a social problem, a financial problem. Things are not working right for him. He's suffering some physical illness, some ailment. مَنْ دَعَانِي Whoever calls unto me, Allah says, لَبَّيْتُهُ I will say, لَبَّيْكُ to his call. وَمَنْ سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ Whoever asks me for anything, I will give him. وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَيَّ كَفَيْتُهُ Whoever has reliance upon me, I will suffice him. Allah says, O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِي الدُّنْيَا أَسْتُرُ عَلَى الْأُصَاتِ The disobedient ones in your ummah, in the world, I conceal their sins. I do not expose them. In the time of Bani Israel, if a person committed a sin at night, in the morning on his door, it would be marked that this was the offense he had committed last night. He would be embarrassed, humiliated. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sattar. He conceals our sins. Allah says, in the world, I conceal the sins of your ummah. And in the akhirah, وَأُشَفِّعُكَ فِيهِمْ I will bless you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to intercede on behalf of your ummah. And then the third gift Rasulullah sallam was given was whosoever from his ummah who does not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive all his major sins. Scholars have mentioned many other things also. We'll suffice with these three gifts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I continue the journey, regarding the 50 salat, on his return, he met Musa alayhi salatu salam. And Musa alayhi salatu salam inquired that what did Allah give you? He says, 50 salah have been ordained and prescribed upon my ummah. He says that your ummah will not be able to fulfill this duty. Go back to Allah and ask Him for takhfif, to lighten this responsibility. Rasulullah salam goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes 5 salah, makes it 45 salah. Again Nabi salam comes, meets Musa alayhi salatu salam, who sends him again, a few times until Allah calls out, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 5 salat only have been ordained upon your ummah, but they will be getting the reward of 50 salats. Salat, a gift given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah who loves us. Allah who conceals our sins, our shortcomings. And this responsibility, we fail to fulfill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just beyond Sidratul Muntaha, heard the scratching of pens of angels, of scribes, who were writing down taqdeer and fate of humanity. Rasulullah SAW was shown Jannah and Jahannam. And when he entered Jannah, he saw the rivers of Jannah, the palaces of Jannah, the domes of Jannah, of the houses of Jannah. He was astounded by the beauty of Jannah. And then he says, I heard a sound of Jannah. And what was Jannah saying? Ya Rabbi atini ma wa'attani wallah. Grant me that which you have promised me. وَكَثُرَتْ غُرَفِي My rooms. I've got abundant rooms. وَسُنْدُسِي وَحَرِيرِي وَإِسْتِبْرَاقِي وَصِحَافِي وَفِضَّتِي وَذَهَبِي. Oh Allah, I've got plenty gold and silver and platters and goblets and homes and silk. Oh Allah, give me that which you have promised me. وَعَسَلِي وَلَبَنِي وَخَمْرِي. I've got rivers of wine and rivers of milk and rivers of honey. Allah says, O Jannat, لَكَ كُلُّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ وَمُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ. For you will be every believing male and female. They will dwell in you, O Jannah. And then Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, successful are the believers. Believers. You know, the whole topic of Mi'raj, I haven't even touched the ayat, subhanallah, and I'm not going to go into the tafsir, so just don't stress and just relax. But Allah talks about subhanallah asra bi abdi. I just want to just elaborate on the word abd. Abd, what is the meaning of abd? Slave, servant, somebody who is in bondage. The word abd, scholars have mentioned that this word abd has been derived from the word mu'abbad. And if you look at the lexicons, you will see that they talk about tariqun mu'abbad. A road which is mu'abbad. What is the meaning of mu'abbad? Something which has been trampled upon. People have walked upon it. And then the road has become soft and gentle. And people can easily traverse upon it. In other words, this shows humility, submissiveness, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We unfortunately have fettered ourselves, tied ourselves to our nafs, our egos, our whims and fancies. We have in reality become slaves of our lowly desires, our base desires. And therefore it is imperative to become true abs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had asked Rasulullah SAW, Ya Muhammad, bima usharrifuk? With what title should I honor you tonight? What title? Every one of us, no matter how much we say, we don't aspire big titles. The bottom of our heart, let us be sincere. We love to be called so and so. Rasulullah says, Ya Rabbi, O my Allah, bi an tunsibani ila nafsika bil ubudiyah. Oh Allah, call me your abd. Allah did not call Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this ayat, alladhi asra bi nabiyhi aw bi habibihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah took his servant on this journey of Miraj. Scholars say al-abd wa ibadah means at-tadallul. When you become submissive, you bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is necessary for us to purge our hearts. Eradicate these maladies that all of us have in our hearts. Whether it is hasad, whether it is jealousy, whether it is love for the world, whether it is arrogance and pride, let us humble ourselves. And when we have this quality of humility, then we will be humble to our fellow men. And then we will deal with them in the correct way, with our wives, with our children, with our servants, with our friends, with our parents. It is not foreign to us, it is not alien to us, the type of lives we are all leading, we are all guilty of. But again I mention, let us not lose hope of the mercy of Allah, but we need to sanctify ourselves. We need to purify our hearts and become Ibadur Rahman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sees or visits Jahannam. Rasulullah saw a number of people being punished in Jahannam, and amongst them was a person whose head was being crushed by a heavy boulder. And each time his head was crushed, and then it was restored. The cycle was repeated. He inquired, who is this person? Jibreel alayhi salatu says that this is that person from your ummah who discards salah. I mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of mercy. He loved his ummah. He could take the pain and suffering. He could take the camel's intestine placed on his back. Whilst in salah, he could not bear the cries of little children and infants that he would curtail his salah. But he could not bear any person who was fit and healthy and who had no valid excuse and who would absent himself from the masjid. And he would say, I desire, I wish at this time I could go, at this point I could go, gather some firewood, burn a fire and put all those people, those baligh males who are healthy, who have got no valid excuse, who are absenting themselves from the masjid, I would take them and throw them and hurl them into a fire. If we are true servants and loyal servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this talk is not just to entertain ourselves, to inspire ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, myself first, tawfiq first. I'm the biggest culprit. May Allah hide and conceal our faults. But salah, this gift. Tomorrow morning, fajr salah. What will be the condition? Let us not fool ourselves and be deceived. Let us be men in the true sense of the word. Let us be rijalullah. What will we lose if we come to the masjid? And make it a point that from today onwards, I will make sure I read my 5-time daily salah. Ask those who previously were not reading the salah, were not frequenting the masjid. What happiness, what ecstasy, what joy they derive upon performing the salah. We're not even talking about nawafil. We're talking about the fard. And then Rasulullah had seen a group of people who were scratching themselves, their faces, their cheeks, with nails made of copper. And these were those people who backbite, who vilify, who ridicule, who mock, who find faults of others, who poke fun at others. They make ghibah. They engage in backbiting. There's a hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioning Mishkat. Asma radiallahu anhu mentions khiyaru ibadillah, the best of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhina idha ru'u dhukir Allah. Who are the best of the servants of Allah? When they are seen, when one looks at them, when one observes their faces, he is reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by looking at that person, immediately you are remembered of your creator. Wa shiraru ibadillah. But the worst of servants, the worst, المشاؤون بالنميمة are those who carry tales. المفرقون بين الأحبة, who cause disunity amongst friends. الباغون البراءة العنتة, and those who seek to vilify, insult, mock and ridicule and humiliate the innocent ones, who will poke fun at them, who will make their life full of misery and agony. Perhaps we will get some enjoyment for a few moments when you humiliate some person. But remember, his tears that will be shed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or her tears that she sheds in the court of Allah, they're not going to be wasted. Allah is going to answer her plea. Allah is going to answer his cry. Let us be mindful of these important advices. Rasulullah had seen many others, a person who was swimming and then he was consuming stones. He was made to eat up stones. And this was a person who fails to discharge his, or this was a person who consumes interest, riba. Then there were those who were grazing like camels in a very despicable manner. There were those people of this ummah who failed to discharge the zakat. Then there were those of this ummah who were cutting the lips with scissors made of fire. May Allah save us. May Allah save us. These are the khutaba'u ummati. These are the preachers. These are the scholars of this ummah. May Allah save us. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us sincerity, ikhlas. These are the scholars of the ummah who preach, who give long, long bayans and talks and impress people. But they have no intention whatsoever to practice upon what they're preaching. So on the day of Qiyamah or in Akhirat, in Jahannam, this will be the punishment. Allah save us. Then there are those people, Nabi Sam saw, there were two pots. One pot was cooking meat that was cooked, or there was cooked meat in that pot. And there was another pot which had raw meat. So these people would go to the pot which had raw meat, and they would consume the raw meat. Nabi Sam was bewildered. Why are they leaving the pot or the cauldron of good and pure meat and cooked meat, and they would take and opt for that meat which was bad, stale, raw? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is, are those people of your ummah, despite having halal spouses, halal tayyib husbands or wives, they still spend their nights with prostitutes. They still spend their time having illicit relationships. Respected brothers and elders, may Allah conceal our sins. This has become an epidemic of our society. This is something that has become very common today. The poor wife waits for her husband to come when he is busy enjoying himself in an illicit relationship. Haram woman, khabitha. Allah has given him a halal wife. He is not satisfied with his halal wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Mubarak days have already commenced. Rajab is now almost terminating. The month of Sha'ban is on our doorstep, and then the month of Ramadan. Let us enjoy our Ramadan in a spiritual way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then returned. And when he returned, of course, he came by the seven heavens, through the seven heavens, and he came to Masjid al-Aqsa, and he was transported by Burraq. And when he came back to Makkah, the next morning Rasulullah sallam mentioned to Abu Jahl and party, that in fact Abu Jahl, says perchance, he comes to Rasulullah, hey, tell me, what's new? Like how we ask, anything new? What's new in town? Anything else you've got for us? Anything new? He said, yes, yes. Last night, I went from Makkah to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then I went and I traversed on a journey through the seven heavens. Oh, Abu Jahl began to laugh, began to scoff at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He assembled his friends and he said, see what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. See what Muhammad is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this intention that now every person, even those who believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would now leave Iman, they would forsake Iman. And immediately they rush to call Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And they go and inform us, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Oh Abu Bakr, you know what your friend is saying? That he actually went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. It takes us an entire month's journey. It's a tedious, long journey to Masjid Al-Aqsa. He says in a space of a few moments, or in just a night, a few hours of a night, he went from here to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and then he went to the seven heavens. They were not even bothered in talking about seven heavens. They were just even questioning the fact that he went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Do you know what Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what was his response? And let us leave with this response tonight. He says that if my friend Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he went on this journey, I believe him. He readily believes. Readily. Spontaneously. And therefore, he was given the title of a Siddiq. He was an epithet of truthfulness. Of accepting whatever Rasul mentioned without questioning. And therefore, some scholars have mentioned in riwayat that if the iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had to be put on one side of the scale, on one pan, and the iman of the entire ummah on the other side, the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala would outweigh the iman of the entire ummah. They begin to question Rasul. Okay, you saw Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa?
How many doors does Masjid Al-Aqsa have? How many windows? I can promise you, I'm in this masjid for so many years, I still don't know how many windows and how many doors.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in front of Rasulullah s.a.w.'s eyes the entire Masjid Al-Aqsa. And he gives them a proper and correct and accurate answer. He was astounded. And then he says that, as I was coming, I saw a caravan of the Quraysh, which had lost one of his camels. And he describes the color of this camel, and he says that, after one or two days, you will find that this caravan will be returning. This camel is laden with two heaps or two bags on either side of its hump. Exactly how Rasulullah had mentioned, this camel or this caravan had returned. But what is the Mughirah? When kufr goes into, permeates a person's heart, and there's no more iman that's going to come into his heart, then what is the Mughirah? What? He dismissed this entire report of Rasulullah, this entire episode, this entire incident of Mi'raj, and he says, you know what, this is sorcery. This is black magic. This is jadu. He's a magician. He's not a true messenger. So let us go back home today with being abds and abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as ibad and siddiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, inspire our lives, help us to purify our hearts and make a very bold effort in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and filling our hearts with His marifat, His love. They say, bereft is that person who is consumed by the embellishments of this world, the glitter and glamour of this world, the riches of this world, the treasures of this world. And he leaves this world without tasting the most delicious and sweetest thing in this world. And what is it? What is the most sweetest thing in this world? The marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The recognition of our Creator. The recognition of our Allah. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh Allah, forgive us of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging from you, Ya Allah. You are our master, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer, our cherisher. You are our most beloved Allah. You are Rahman, you are Rahim, you are Kareem. You are Mughni, you are Samad, you are Ghani. You are independent. You do not need and you do not require any one of us, Ya Allah. But we need you, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are knocking on your door, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not shut your doors upon our faces, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are desperate, Ya Allah. We have come with so many problems, Ya Allah. Financial problems, social problems, domestic problems, Ya Allah. Business problems, Ya Allah. There are so many of us, Ya Allah. Oh, there are so many brothers who have got no job, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they are seeking some rosy, some sustenance, Ya Allah. You provide for them from unseen sources, Ya Allah. There are those who are having some problem at home, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they are being ill-treated, Ya Allah. Humiliated, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you send your compassion, your mercy, you bestow him, Ya Allah, with your favors and boons and kindness, Ya Allah. You remove his difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there are those who are sick and ailing in the hospitals, Ya Allah, or at home. People who have got cancer and other deadly diseases. Oh my Allah, they are battling, Ya Allah. They are in agony and pain, Ya Allah. Wallah, you remove that sickness, Ya Allah. Undoubtedly, you are a Shafi, Ya Allah. Cure is in your hands only, Ya Allah. Wallah, they are bereaved women, Ya Allah. They are orphan children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, you choose us to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallam, for which we appreciate and we thank you, Ya Allah. We are not fulfilling this responsibility of being an ummati, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not deprive us of the Hawd al-Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah, from getting the water from the beloved hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when he sees us, when he sets his eyes upon us, make him come running towards us, Ya Allah, and embrace us, Ya Allah. And be so happy to meet with us, Ya Allah. Make us enter Jannah without any hisab kitab, without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how are we going to endure? Ya Allah, how are we going to bear the azab of the qabr, the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is so horrifying, Ya Allah. Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Safeguard us from the azab of the qabr, from the azab of Jahannam. Protect us from all types of fitna and fasad, especially the fitna of the Dajjal, Ya Allah. Protect our youth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they are absent from the masjid, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they don't care anymore, Ya Allah. They have no love for your deen, Ya Allah, or many of them, Ya Allah. They while away their time, Ya Allah, and their weekends and their nights, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in consuming alcohol, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in taking drugs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they do not know the name of the masjid, Ya Allah. So many of them have forgotten how to recite the Quran in Majid, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they do not want to come and learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not want to learn and inspire themselves and educate themselves with your Quran. Ya Allah, you forgive them, Ya Allah. Bless them with hidayat, Ya Allah. Bless all of us with hidayat, Ya Allah. Our woman folk, Ya Allah. You forgive them, Ya Allah. Give us hidayat, Ya Allah. Perhaps some person sitting here, Ya Allah. Some innocent person, Ya Allah. Some masoom child, Ya Allah. Some elderly person with a white beard, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, somebody who is sincere. You know our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know the facade in our life. Ya Allah, you know the mask that we wear on our faces, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we sit on the pulpits, Ya Allah. We propagate your deen, Ya Allah. But our lives is not in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we violate. Ya Allah, we violate your commandments, your prohibitions, Ya Allah. O my Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. You forgive us, bless all of us with hidayat. Give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat. Izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all bala, afat, musibat, dhillat, hawan, shurur, fitan, mihan, takalif, parishani. Ya qadhi al-hajat. Ya kashif al-qurabat, Ya Allah. Ya kashif al-gham. Mufarrij al-qurabat. Ya ghiyath al-mustaghithin, Ya rahim al-masakin. Fulfill all our desires, Ya Allah. Give us halal rozi, Ya Allah. Give us plentiful, Ya Allah. Make us use, Ya Allah, wa halal rozi, Ya Allah, for your sake. And avenues that you will become pleased with us. Remove from our hearts the maladies that we are suffering. Pride, arrogance, hasad, kina, buz, adawat. Ya Allah, we become happy to insult and hurt our Muslim brethren, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have become the laughing stock, Ya Allah, of the disbelievers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give them hidayat also. Make there be peace in the entire world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make Islam prosper through the four corners of the globe. Help us to make the work of Rasulullah our work. The effort, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the worry and concern of Rasulullah for his ummah, Ya Allah, make it be our worry, our concern, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to strive in your path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to learn the knowledge, learn the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah, and make us practice the deen of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, all those who have come here tonight, Ya Allah, grant them all their jayest desires, Ya Allah. Whatever their desires may be, Ya Allah. You are well aware of every person's desire, Ya Allah. Those who are not here, Ya Allah. Perhaps in other masajid, or maybe at home, wherever they may be, in any part of the world, fulfill their desires also, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties also, Ya Allah. The ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we have fallen into an abyss, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in every part of the world. Ya Allah, look at our condition, look at our, Ya Allah, our pitiable condition. Ya Allah, we just want one glance of your nazar rahmat, your merciful glance. That will suffice us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Fill our hearts with the marifat, your love, and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the marhumin, ya Allah. Grant them jannatul firdaus. Ya Allah, when our time will come to leave this world, ya Allah. Grant us martyrdom. Ya Allah, make us shuhada. Grant us, ya Allah, maut in Madina Sharif and be unburied in jannatul baqiyah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, in a condition that we are pleased with you. And you are most pleased with us, ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.